We had a great time last year in Australia. We always do. We love coming to Australia. And at the end of our mission time, Sally and her husband Tim with us today, they're the leaders of Bridge for Peace Australia. Sally and myself, we always go down to Darling Harbor, and we spend a day praying about what took place, praying about some of the invitations that have already come in, discerning what it is that the Lord would want us to do next year, and also thanking him for all of the things that we saw in the year of the mission of Australia. So last year was the same thing. We were down at Darling Harbor, and I was really looking forward to our time because you talk about Americans and coffee, but they're nothing compared to Australians. And you've got this whole coffee board with all of these choices. Well, the last year, coming towards the end of the mission, I was feeling the effects of your wonderful coffee. I was like a little jittery. So God had told me, back off the coffee. And I was only having one coffee a day. So except for this day where I was going to have something really special. So I'd had my coffee in the morning, but I was going to have that special coffee in the afternoon. So we were at the Lindt Cafe, sitting outdoors on a glorious day, watching Darling Harbor, and I take the menu. What a beautiful menu. It's like chocolate-colored background with the white lettering. And I'm looking at the selection of coffees, and there's caramel, and there's vanilla, and there's mocha. And I said to Sally, but there's no whipped cream. She says, well, if you ask for whipped cream, they'll give it to you. So I'm trying to decide. I narrow it down to caramel and vanilla. And I'm trying to decide. And I said, I can't make up my mind. So I said, you know what? I'm going to ask God. So I did. I asked God. And my friends, I saw a vision of the finger of God, the right hand of the Father, the finger of God, coming out of heaven with wings on it. It came right down to the menu, and it pointed, sparkling water. You know that was God. So Sally had gone to get us some things, and she comes and sits down and says, so what are you going to have? What did God say? Now, my friends, in that moment, I sensed the eyes of the spiritual realm on me. It seemed to me as if the angels were holding their breath, and Satan was ready to pounce. And even though there were a lot of people around, it was very still. It became very still within me, and it was like the time was stretching out, as if all the spiritual realm was watching to see how I would respond. So I said to Sally very simply, sparkling water. And then I changed the subject. Because silence in the presence of God, silence when God is moving, is very crucial. Space and silence. And there's many things, many directions I could have gone in. And they all would have been very dangerous. Because the Word of God says that we need to speak according to His Word. And let His Word come through us. And that was a dangerous spot that I was in, because I knew that there was a river. There was a holy highway. And if the river was going to flow through me, it's these small decisions and the way we respond to these small things that make a big difference in our lives. And I didn't want to step off the holy highway and get sidetracked. And that moment was very important that I watched my mouth, because when the finger of God shows up, you're dealing in mysteries. Now, the Word of God says that when the kingdom of God comes, you'll know already that in unexpected ways, there's a power released for you. Zechariah 2:13 says, "Hush, be still all flesh before the Lord, for he is aroused and risen from his holy habitation." My friends, that was a time when my flesh had to be silent. All flesh be silent before the Lord. And when I talk about our flesh, I'm talking about the unredeemed parts of our nature. So God redeemed us by his blood. He sanctified us by his blood. But there's parts of us that at that time died. They're dead. But we can awaken them. We have the choice to awaken them. But the word of God says, be silent, all flesh, because God has arisen. And a call for silence is a word that's issued when God has come forth. When God has come forth, when he's in the place, is a call for silence, for holy silence, when he's moved. It's as though when I'm silent, I roll out the red carpet for God. I just bow before him. I quiet myself. I quiet my flesh. I quiet my voice, and I attend to his movement within me. As we've been talking about Psalm 46, verse 4, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the most holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. Silence is a place from which God brings authority. And authority is the place from which we would not be moved when the authority of God is in us. Talking can hinder the movement of God. We need to grow more sensitive to when to be silent and when to speak. The word of God says in Amos 5:3, the prudent shall keep silent. The prudent keeps silence. Prudence is a virtue that we can run very short of. To have prudence in our dealings with man. The prudent way to deal oftentimes is to keep silent. And Ed and I have seen that many times, you know, when there's resistance, to keep silent and to allow God to work. Many times God says to us, leave it alone. And sometimes our preconceived idea of what it is to be a Christian works against us. And I say preconceived because we feel the pressure. We feel a pressure to extend ourselves when God says, just stand in silence. We feel, well, as a Christian, I ought to. As a Christian, I should. And oftentimes those senses of what I should do, what I ought to do, work against what God is calling us to do, to leave it alone so he can work in it. That's very often a very difficult place for us. But the word of God says the prudent keeps silent. When God is leading us and guiding us into a silence, a prayerful silence, a silence of inner praise, let us be as quick to respond to him as we would be if he would say, make that phone call, send that card, ring that doorbell. It's so easy for us to feel pressures and self-accusation and guilt and shame if we don't keep reaching out. But sometimes God says, if you want me to work in it, leave it alone. Leave it alone. So in all things, we want to be obedient to God. Psalm 62 says, for God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. Silently submit to him, Hope and expectation are from him. I shall not be moved. My friends, the image of the bride of Christ, Christianity as the bride of Christ, is an image of submission. As the bride submits to her spouse, we are called to submit. Even those places that want to talk, even those places that want to sometimes defend ourselves or have our say, it all needs to be submitted to him. Because authority comes out of silence before the Lord. In the book of Numbers, Moses has brought the people over. They're safe from Pharaoh. They've come across. And you can imagine Moses like, oh, we made it. Relieved. No more fear of Pharaoh bearing down on them. And they're barely across when there's a rebellion. The Korahites rebel. They say to Moses, well, who are you to lead us? Who chose you? Who picked you? And they become very rebellious against him. And Moses becomes very angry. But God tells him, look, they're fighting against me, not against you. And in the end, God separates the Korahites from the rest of the Israelites. The earth opens up and swallows them all. It was a terrible day for the Israelites. It was a fearful day. They went to their beds, I'm sure, in trembling. And it must have been difficult to sleep that night, seeing what had happened to the rebellious. But in the morning, rather than waking up with a spirit of submission, they woke up and began complaining all over again with a spirit of rebellion, coming against Moses, coming against Aaron again. Who called you to lead us? You know why, my friends? You would have thought they would have learned something from the day before, but you know what it is, my friends? You can't kill a spirit of rebellion by any means other than the blood of Jesus. It's a spirit for which people need to be delivered. So even though they saw that example of rebellion against Moses, rebellion against God, the next day they were right back there at the same thing. So God said, well, I'm going to settle this. And he told Moses to get from the leaders of the 12 tribes to get a staff from each one. Now, the staff of the leader would be marked with a timeline of the lives and the important events of the tribe. So it was a history. It was like a life history. Saying, collect from each one the staff. I'm going to settle this. Going to take those staffs and you're going to bring them in to the tent of meeting and you're going to leave them there all night. And in the morning, the staff that buds will show my choice. This is dead wood. And the people are all excited. Wow, the staff that buds, God's going to do a miracle. We're going to see a staff that buds. And they were so excited about that and they agreed to it. So Moses collects them all and he takes them and he puts them in the tent of meeting where he met with the Lord. And all night long, they rested there, silent in his presence. And you can imagine the profound silence in the tent of meeting before the Ark of the Covenant, covered in gold and angels in gold facing watching the ark all night. And then sometime in the midst of the night, in the midst of the silence, the sound of sap running like a stream through dead wood, sap. And after that, the cracking of wood as a bud came forward. And after that, a blossoming and fragrance moving through the tent of meeting. And after that, fruiting And then the flesh burst as though from warm sun. And the almond was revealed in the center. In the morning, Moses comes to the tent of meeting and he gathers up all the sticks and he comes out. And you can imagine he's stirring the air with Moses' rod, stirring the air, saying, God has made his choice. And the people rejoiced to see it. My friends, if God could do that with dead wood that rested in his presence, what can he do with our lives? And the authority was established. If we will rest in the presence of God and enjoy silence in his presence, authority will be established in us. And we will not only bud. People rejoice to see the budding, but God doesn't rejoice to see the budding. He wants the blossoming. He wants the fruiting. Because when we bear fruit, and great fruit, that's when he receives the glory. And that's what he wants out of our lives. So wherever you might think there's dead wood in your life, just remember what God can do with it. If we would rest in his presence, he can transform that area into an area of authority when we know him in the silence. Now, the finger of God image, I want to share about that with you, because many people aren't familiar with the Holy Spirit as the finger of God. But that's an image that I've prayed with for over 20 years. Every day I pray to the Holy Spirit as the finger of the right hand of the Father. And the finger of God is said in the Old Testament to be how the Lord wrote the Ten Commandments. The finger of God was seen to be with Moses when he came back to Egypt to show signs and wonders. The sorcerer said, the finger of God is with him. The finger of God is doing it. And Jesus himself talks about the finger of God. Jesus says, if he casts out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has already come upon you. And in another place, that same passage is translated as Jesus cast out demons by the Spirit of God. So you see, the Spirit of God and the kingdom of God are the same, the finger of God. So it's like the finger of the Father's right hand. It's like the power being released from the Father's right hand is the finger of God. So we in Bridge for Peace, we want to see the power of God operating in our lives, because we believe that is what God calls us to as a normative course, as normative life. We want to empower and equip everyone to be able to pray for the sick, to see them healed, to set the captive free in the name of Jesus Christ so that Jesus could be glorified. And I was speaking earlier in this mission time at a venue, and I talked about our heart several years ago. I want to make a bumper sticker that said, signs and wonders are following us. What's following you? And some from Bridge for Peace team made it for me. Bridge for Peace, signs and wonders are following us. What's following you? Today, my friends, a day to look over your shoulder and to see what's following you, because Jesus said signs and wonders are going to follow you. That's what your life is supposed to be. Not misery and torment, but signs and wonders. And I pray that you'll come free to see that. And that's why I'm sharing with you today the importance of silence, because what works against miracles, signs, and wonders in our lives personally and releasing them for others is that spirit of grumbling. The spirit of grumbling and complaining. That's what happened to the rebels. They were grumbling. They were complaining when the earth opened up and swallowed them. That's what keeps many people, many of us, from entering into the promised land. What God has promised to us is that spirit of grumbling and complaining. The grumbler and the complainer is like the double-minded man that need not to expect to receive anything. So I really want us to be able to take a hold of that, to realize even at that moment when the Lord said sparkling water, I had an option of how to respond. And I was very careful about it because I want miracles, signs, and wonders to follow me and him to get the glory. So I want to today, the sisters of the Evangelical Sisters of Mary, I think they're here. I don't know if they're here this morning. But we've had a privilege to spend time with them. And they've taught us a song that helps us to remember not to grumble. And we're going to try it out today. The first part of it, we're going to say, brethren, do not grumble. Brethren, do not grumble. Brethren, do not grumble. The judge is at the door. Can we do that? Brethren, do not grumble. Brethren, do not grumble. Brethren, do not grumble. The judge is at the door. All right, we have that. Now, these parts here, these two wings, you're going to say, do not grumble, grumble, grumble. 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 Okay. Brethren, do not grumble. Keep going. Brethren, do not grumble. Brethren, do not grumble. The judge is at the door. Brethren, do not grumble. Brethren, do not grumble. Brethren, do not grumble. The judge is at the door. Do not grumble, grumble, grumble. Do not grumble, grumble, grumble. Do not grumble, grumble, grumble. Well done. Well done. And if you'll take that to heart, my friends, we all need to take it to heart. Because we all face times and situations that make us feel like complaining, that make us feel like grumbling. And I'll tell you, at that moment, all the spiritual realm is watching. They're watching to see what direction you're going to take. And the Word of God says, pray that God may open a door for us for the Word to proclaim the mystery concerning Christ the Messiah. Like, we want to pray for God to open a door for us that we could now speak about the mystery of Jesus Christ, our Messiah. We want to use our tongue for that. It says, as we ought to speak, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. So to redeem the time means to take advantage of the opportunity that time offers. To command our time the way a master commands a servant, not to waste time, not to kill time, but to master time. So we want to pray, as it says in Ephesians 5:16, conduct yourself not as fools, but wisely, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And the ways we're redeeming the time is by speaking about the Messiah, speaking about Jesus, praising him, thanking him, and in many times, when we're uncertain, remaining silent so that God can move on us, inviting him to move on us. We're all looking for that opportunity to speak of Christ the Messiah. And I want to just thank you, because so many of you, you've been a blessing to the Bridge for Peace Children's Village, which is now 3 homes for children, 32 babies, and we have our 14 high schoolers in boarding school right now as we're getting ready to build our own school. We did that in obedience. We never had a thought about an orphanage. It was one of the miracles, signs, and wonders that followed us. We never had a thought about it. But when the Lord brought it to our hearts, we obediently stepped into it. And I want to share with you what God has done and how he's opened a door there. We had before our last visit, we were told that a Muslim woman had come to the children's village. Now, she couldn't go to the church. It would have been very dangerous for her. But she had heard that the children's village was a place of miracles. And so she had come to the children's village because she had two sons that were sick. The younger one had epilepsy. They prayed over the sons at the children's village, and the two of them were healed. And the Muslim lady said, "Now I want to come back, and I want to bring my friends with me and their children." So Ed and I were at the Bridge for Peace Children's Village, and we saw some women, Muslim women, going into a side building. And, you know, it was like thinking, wow, what's that about? And we were on about our business because there's a lot of business to do when we're there. And then they came and they reminded me about the Muslim women who said they were going to come. And they wanted to meet with Ed and myself. So we did. We met with them. And we spoke to them a little bit first about how the miracles, signs, and wonders come, how the healing of epilepsy came through Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for us, who loves all people, who came for all people. And then they wanted us to pray with them. So the young boy who had been healed of epilepsy, he was 14, he was the first to come, and we asked him what he wanted. He said, "I want to go everywhere and tell everyone about Jesus Christ, and I want to pray for the sick and see them healed and see the captive set free." So we prayed for him, and he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit right there. And then his 16-year-old brother came next, and I asked, "What do you want?" He said, "I want the same thing my brother has." And he said the other thing he wanted was wisdom, which you know he's going to need. So we prayed for him, and he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then the moms came. And each one of them received the Lord and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So you see, my friends, when God opened a door for us to build an orphanage, we could have grumbled. We could have said, "Whoa, Lord, we got enough to do." We could have complained, but we closed our mouths and we said, "Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus." From that, we started to press forward. And the first house was an international house where funds came from all over the world. And we were like, step by step by step by step, moving forward for that house. The second house was totally given by one couple to memorialize a child who had died. The third house was totally given by a church, all the money given. And now what we're looking at, thinking about an orphanage, God was thinking about a salvation center. We know that salvation, that these children, they would not be alive today if it wasn't for the orphanage. So we said it's a rescue center, but God has much bigger plans. But it's so crucial and so important. At the beginning, we could have complained about that. We would have said, "Wow, Lord, that's like a lot. We've got a lot on our plate already." But you see, what I'm trying to show you is that how important it is. When God speaks something into your heart, most likely it's going to require some kind of a commitment on your part, which means you will probably be giving something else up. And at that point, we can all grumble. But remember, brethren, do not grumble. Just remain silent, because God is moving. He stood up from the throne and remained silent in his presence. So now, as we want to become masters of our time and good masters of our time, I want everybody here to take out your cell phone. Take out your cell phone. Thanks, hon. Take out your cell phone. Now, I want you to look at your cell phone and point to it. Remember, the Holy Spirit's in you. It's like the finger of God. Point to it. Cell phone, you are not my master. Because it always wants to master your time, doesn't it? Wants to take you over, doesn't it? It cuts us off. You know, sometimes we'll be in a restaurant and a mom's there with her two kids, and she's constantly like this, and the kids are bouncing off the walls, just wanting a little bit of attention. And I know she'll go home that night. They'll say, well, what did you do? I had lunch with the kids. She didn't have lunch with the kids. She had lunch with her cell phone. You are not my master. You are to be used to communicate good news in the name of Jesus, far and wide. You are to be used for the ministry of encouragement. I'm going to use you to pray over the sick on the other end of the line. They will hear the word of God, and they will be healed. All right, now take out your wallet. Money. You are not my master. You go when I tell you to go. You come when I tell you to come. You will be used for the building of the kingdom of God. My friend, so many people, they even say, well, I want to go on mission if I have the money. Well, I'll give if I have the money. Well, all this, well, all that, if I have the money. My friends, it doesn't work like that. It's you hear from God, you're silent in his presence. He says, go to China. You're silent in his presence. You take it into your spirit. You say, yes, Lord, praise you, Lord. I will go, Lord. I will go. And after you say that, the money comes. We cannot be dictated to in building the kingdom of God by our wallets. We're going to apply our faith. And I will tell you, for over 20 years of experience in dealing with mission teams, I can't tell you how many people didn't have the money, but said yes. And every one of them went. And it came by supernatural means, amazing things. One just comes to my mind was a gentleman who had said yes. He didn't have the money. And time was passing. And then he called us up and he said he got a letter from his company saying 3 years ago, say 3 years ago, he was the top salesman in the office. And they had issued him a bonus check that he had never cashed. Did he want them to reissue it? Or how did he want to deal with it? And the amount was precisely what he needed to go on the mission trip. We had another young woman. She wanted to go. She had a mother of two. She didn't have the money, but she said yes. One night, her doorbell, they literally rang her doorbell, and it was an insurance company. And they said, you know, you've overpaid your premiums the last few years, and we've come to give you this check, exactly what she needed to go on the mission. Say yes first. This is not your master. The Lord in heaven is our master. This is not our master. This does not determine our future. The Lord in heaven determines our future. God wants us to exercise faith. Remember what he did with Moses when Moses was looking for comfort. He gave him a challenge. So many of us are challenged in the financial realm because God wants us to find out what we have in us, the kind of faith for finances. Because he died to give us an inheritance of salvation, healing, deliverance and provision. And when we're walking where God calls us to walk, there will be provision for us. Thank you, hon. And now I want you to take off your shoe. How lovely on the mountaintop are the feet of those who bring good news. Shoe, you're going to start bringing good news. You're going to go where I tell you. You're going to walk on the holy highway. You're not going to take any detours. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. It's a new walk today for us. Because we're going to master our time. We're going to redeem our time. We're going to take authority over our time. We're going to take authority over those cell phones. We're going to take authority over our finances. We're going to take authority over our walk. We're going to redeem the time and we're going to stop grumbling and complaining. I don't have enough. I don't have enough. We're going to cancel that word in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I've got all that I need. I've got all that I need. All the finance and all the time. My friends, so many times I don't have enough time or I do it. We all have been given a measure of time. Every one of us. What we've got to do is master it. Master it. You know, I had a dream one night. Ed and I were sitting in a railroad station and God had called us on mission to a certain place. And I was looking at the money. And I thought, wow. You know, we knew the price of the ticket, we knew what was in our hands. But God said to me in the dream, that money is going to take you a lot further than you thought. Not only took us to the destination, but it took us many places beyond that because you have favor. We had our South American team coming to Uganda this year, and he had lost his jobs. They needed two jobs for him to survive there. He had lost both of his jobs. And they were in a very difficult place financially. And there were people who would support them on the trip, but they only had enough money for one ticket. And when we were praying with them on the phone, the Lord said to me, tell them it's two for one. Tell them it's two for one. That took courage to say it. I want to admit it. You know, I don't give words lightly. I don't throw words around. You know, there's a lot of people today. They throw a lot of words around. The Word of God has something to say about that, and I want to tell you it's bone-chilling. It's bone-chilling what God has to say about that. So I'm very careful, and I'm like, really, Lord, am I hearing you? Is that you, Lord? And on the other hand, if it's God, I don't want to miss anything that he wants to say through me. So it's a place where we have to be very attentive to what God is doing and know that it's authentic before you speak. So I spoke to them on the phone. I said, God's saying two for one. 2 weeks later, they telephoned and said, we've got our tickets. Two for one. Two for the price of one. So we have to walk in faith. We have to master these things. God wants us to redeem the time, to take those opportunities, and to be very careful about the kinds of strongholds that can be placed in our minds. In every kind of area, there are strongholds. Now, we were ministering in New York, and as we came in, the music ministry was there. We were there early when the music ministry was setting up ourselves. And someone from the music ministry came up to me and said, Annette, we really need prayer here in this community, because this week, 7 people died from overdoses, all of them under 40 years of age. And then she went on to tell me that what happens is if people go into rehab and they're used to taking a certain level of drug, certain potency of drug, they go into rehab, come out of rehab, and then they fall back to the drugs, they take the same level they were at before rehab and their body can't handle it. So that was the first thing. Someone said 7 people died that week from overdoses. Then I saw another gentleman that I knew and he said, Annette, you have to pray for my family, please. My nephew died. He was on a lot of drugs for back pain for many years. We don't think he overdosed. We think it was a mistake. But we need prayer for that. That night, as I prayed for people, there were 2 women that came, both of them in their late 50s, early 60s, served the Lord all their lives, were in church all their lives, beautiful women. One said to me, Annette, my husband died. My dad's in his late 80s. He's got arthritis all through his body, and I'm his sole caretaker. She was a petite woman, and she was had to move him and manage him, and it was very difficult. So one of her daughters had become promiscuous and was very abusive to her on the phone if she'd speak to her at all. Said, and I don't want to live anymore. I don't want to live anymore. Another woman came, the same story, faithful all her life in charismatic community. Same kinds of problems facing in her life, same kinds of problems. Said, and I don't want to live anymore. I struggle. I struggle not to kill myself. Friends, these kinds of problems, they're in the church. They're not just out there. They're in the church. But we've been given deliverance through the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, is the Word of God, to command demons to go, to command healing, just the way Jesus did it, that he would receive the glory. And that night, the Lord gave me a vision. Because the Lord says, take the sword of the Spirit. And the Lord gave me a vision that we've got the sword of the Spirit, and we're holding it out like this, and we're waiting for Satan to run and skewer himself on it. We're there. We've got the sword of the Spirit. We know we've got the sword of the Spirit, but we're not advancing with it. We're not advancing with it. Ed and I are on the board of a ministry that goes out on the street. We go out on the street with trucks, and we bring food to people who are hungry in New York. And at the same time, we preach the Word of God and we minister to them. At Christmas time, we have an event where we fill a huge hall, like the size of this hall, all with toys, teddy bears and baby dolls and board games and collecting toys. And they come in through a room where there's praise and worship. Then they come through, collect all the toys that they need for their families, very well organized, how many children and their ages. And then they go through and get stocking stuffers. And then the last station on the hallway on their way out is Ed and myself with some of the team there with Bibles in Spanish and English to give away to the people. And we get to pray with the people on their way out. Most everyone receives prayer. It's very rare that they don't receive prayer. And at that point, their hearts are very open. Many of them are crying because they wouldn't have had any gifts for their children that year. So they're very open to what has been done for them. And they're very soft to receive Jesus. Well, Ed and I are standing in the hallway, and around the corner comes this little boy. He's only about, well, we say 3 feet, I guess a meter tall. And he must have gotten into one of those Armor of God play sets. You know those Armor of God play sets? Do you have them here? They're the plastic shield. Do you have them? Yeah, plastic shield, plastic sword, plastic helmet. And he had that sword in his hand. And he was swinging the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. He was swinging that around. I want to tell you, fellas over 6 feet tall, they got out of the way. Everybody got out of the way. And mom is saying, stop, stop. But he's in his imaginary world, you know, and he's not stopping for anything. My friend, I learned a lesson there. Doesn't matter how tall you are, if you've got the sword of the Spirit. If you've got the Word of God, if you're speaking the Word of God, according to the purposes to which he called us, doesn't matter how tall you are. Doesn't matter if you're dead wood. God will give you his authority. What it is to be silent before him today, to receive what it is that he has for us, to be silent and to put aside all the worries, all the anxiety, all the fears today, to master them in the name of Jesus, and to stand before him, confident of his love, confident of his power, confident of his purposes set out for you. Because there's a timetable in heaven for each one here. There's a timetable, and today is your time. We just want to pray for anyone today who wants prayer. Particularly today, if you've been plagued by a spirit, a downcast spirit, If life has seemed really rough and you've just felt like complaining and it's been hard to praise God, if it's been hard to control the words, if it's been hard to say thank you, Jesus, in whatever circumstance you're in, the answer is thank you, Jesus. Whatever circumstance you're in, the answer is praise you, Lord. It's the answer to every circumstance. And the cure and the remedy is the blood of Jesus Christ, no matter what the problem. And my friends, everything he did as a man. Everything he did. He didn't switch into God mode when he healed the sick. He didn't switch into God mode when he delivered the captive. Everything he did as a man. Everything he did as we are. So his power is in you to do amazing things. But many times it's that inability to be silent, that inability to wait on him, the inability to listen to him, and the tendency to fall into the complaining and the grumbling and the self-pity. So today we want to release you to wield the sword of the Spirit and to know that doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what's been before. As you come into the presence of the Most Holy God, everything within us that has been dead, there'll be a river of life moving through. There'll be sap coming through you. And you'll not only bud, but you will produce fruit, because that's the way God gets the glory. So we want to pray for you today in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I just ask the team to come, who's going to pray over people today. Well, the team. Everybody who's got the black dots, is it, or blue dots, the blue dot team, if you'd just come. And if our worship team would like to come, it'd be beautiful. Holy, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you've given us a tongue to speak, Lord, that we could speak your word. Thank you that you've put your authority within us, that you put your word within us, Lord. Thank you that you've given us the power of your blood, Lord. Thank you for the cross, and thank you for the resurrection. Amen. Thank you, Lord God, that you've ascended and you've sat down at the right hand of your Father, and everything is under your feet, everything. And you've given to us your precious name, Lord, your precious name by which the captive goes free, by which those that are waiting in darkness are saved, Lord God, by which those that have been broken are healed. So we thank you when we praise you, Lord, that we're before you today, Lord, waiting on you, waiting on your good pleasure, which we know your pleasure is to save, to heal, and to deliver and provide, Lord. So thank you, Father, for the great mysteries that is you, the great mysteries, Lord, that you've called us to be stewards of, servants of God and stewards of mysteries. And we thank you, Lord, that as we pray today in your name, that the captive will come free, Lord, that the burden will be released, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord, that the grumbling would stop and praise would ever be on our lips. And in that way, Lord, we know that we would walk in your plan, know your love and your glory, and see that miracles, signs, and wonders are following us because we're your servants, Lord God. And we want you to receive all the glory in Jesus' name.